Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Today I bring you the word of God from John chapter 1, reading the first five verses now with more to come. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. After almost 8 years at McGill, this is my last service with you. And what a wonderful day to finish on. As much as I'm sad to leave you, I can't be too sad on one of the most joyous days of the Christian calendar, a day when we focus on and celebrate the birth of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. As much as partings are hard, we can rejoice that we are never separated when we are in Him, when we are in Christ. Because of Jesus' birth and all that came thereafter, we Christians are assured of eternal friendship and fellowship. Nothing now can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, and therefore nothing can separate us. Not moving congregation, nor moving home, nor anything else in all creation, including death. Not while we hold firm to the Word of Life, whose incarnation we celebrate today, and which is described by John in verse 14 of our reading. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. As I prepared my last sermon at Pilgrim, I thought long and hard about what message I wanted to leave you with. There are many topics I could have chosen on this special day, but I eventually came to the conclusion that hold firm to the Word of Life is the most important. Because if you hold firm to God's word as revealed to us in the Bible, then you have God himself. And when you have God, then you can be assured of having all his gifts as well. As our readings for today tell us, God's written word and God's incarnate word, born in Bethlehem, are one and the same. Through the Bible, you have direct access to your Lord Jesus, just as his first disciples had in the first century. What's more, because God's word is not just information, but a person, he can make a real difference to your lives. God's word through his Son is truly living and active. It does things. Luther describes nicely how the Bible makes a difference to the recipient in a brief instruction on reading the Gospels. He says this: "When you open the book containing the Gospels, and read or hear how Christ comes here or there, or how someone is brought to him, you should therein perceive the sermon or the gospel through which he is coming to you, or you are being brought to him. For the preaching of the gospel is nothing else than Christ coming to us, or we being brought to him. When you see how he works, however, and how he helps everyone to whom he comes, or who is brought to him, then rest assured that faith is accomplishing this in you, and that he is offering your soul exactly the same sort of help and favour through the gospel." In other words, the word that John wrote of, through whom all things were made, was not just an event in the past. It wasn't just a birth in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Our Lord Jesus, the incarnate Word of God, continues to bring life to you today. What's more, he wants to bring you life, not just for today, or even for a few more years until your earthly body wears out, but forever. So hold firmly to Jesus with the help of God's Holy Spirit, so that you do not give up on his promises before the end. As Paul exhorted his protege Timothy, so I exhort you today, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. But Michael, you're probably thinking, we know all this. You've told us plenty of times before. And that's true. I've said similar things to you repeatedly over the last 8 years. But I won't be able to tell you again, at least not from this pulpit. And if your memory is anything like mine, you will need reminding in the future. Without hearing things over and over again, we are likely to forget them. And even if your memory is much better than mine, you might find it hard to apply what you hear. You might find it difficult to put God's word into practice in your own life. What's more, the devil is always active, trying to snatch God's word out of our hearts before it can grow roots and bear fruit. So even if you know everything I have said so far, and you put it perfectly into practice right now, that may not be the case in the future if you become complacent. So whatever you remember from my ministry among you, please remember this one phrase: hold firm to the word of life. Hold firm to the word by continuing to meet here together, receiving it through your ears as well as through your mouth in the sacrament. Whether you get a new pastor soon or rely on visiting pastors or lay readers for a longer time, receive God's word through them eagerly and allow it to make a difference in your lives. For all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Hold firm to the word by continuing to study it through KYB and through your personal devotions at home. And continue to encourage each other in worship, devotion, and Bible study, caring not only for each other's bodily needs, as you do so well, but for your spiritual needs as well. It may be that I'm preaching to the choir by now, but to reinforce the message, I'd like to share two reasons from today's reading that show how necessary it is to hold firm to the word of life. The first reason is found in verses 9 to 10 of our reading. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. As I mentioned on the second Sunday of Advent, Jesus is like a lighthouse leading a boat in a storm to safe harbor. Jesus is the only one who can lead us out of the darkness of sin into the light of God's presence. Unfortunately, there are other counterfeit lights in the world that vie for our attention or seek to lead us off course. This is included in every age false teachers who claim to know the truth and the only way to God. So the only way you can remain on track is to learn to recognize Jesus for yourselves, to learn to differentiate his true light from the false ones, and fix your eyes on him alone. So I pray that you will continue to study and learn God's word well, so that if, God forbid, someone tries to lead you astray, you can recognize their falsehood and refuse to follow them. The second reason it's important to hold on to the word of life is found in verse 11. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. When God's word became a human being, he was born into the nation of Israel. But despite his birth being long foretold, most of his own people did not receive him. They refused to believe that Jesus was from God. That's a warning to all of us who think that simply by virtue of our membership in the church that we will be saved. It doesn't matter what church we belong to or how long we have been a member, unless we also have faith. Without faith in Jesus, our heritage counts for nothing. That's why I encourage you to hold firm to God's word in worship and personal devotions or Bible study. Not because those actions will make God love you any more than he already does, but because he gives you the gift of faith through his word. the word of Christ creates faith in you, allowing you to receive him rather than reject him. The good news is that if we do receive Jesus in faith, then we also receive another gift revealed in the next two verses. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. When you hold firm to the word of life and receive the gift of faith and thereby Christ himself, you are further blessed with membership in God's family. A family with God as our Father and Jesus as our brother. A family that transcends space and time and will last forever. And so, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it has been a joy and a privilege to serve you at Pilgrim by bringing you God's word week after week, and I pray that you continue to hold firm to it. But in line with what I said at the start of the sermon, don't consider this a goodbye. For those who hold firm to the word of life, who are members of God's family, there are not really goodbyes, only see you laters. So until we meet again, in this life or the next, hold on to these words of God through his servant Paul, and hear in them my own desire for you. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Allow me to repeat that. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.